Rob Garrity. Welcome to the Watch Movie Weekly. I'm joined with co-host Chris Ardern, Bill Johnson. Watchman Weekly is a ministry of the Threshing Floor and can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Bill.
Hi, Bob. How you doing? I'm doing great tonight.
I'm very good, Chris. Very good. Had a great pre-show with our, we had a guest on for our pre-show, Steve Knox. We'd like to thank Steve for coming on for the pre-show. Brother Bill, how are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. It's good to be here this evening. And yes, it was very enlightening, Steve sharing with us much of the knowledge that he's accumulated. And I very much enjoyed that.
Now, audience, we have a couple of guests on and friends of the show that we interact with that we feel are in the truth to come on to the pre-show and give us insights as to what we can convey to you in terms of the truth, and in doing so. We do. Steve's a gift.
He sure is. Boy, he brought some insights.
Just a wealth of knowledge. Oh. And another piece that we want to convey to you with his, he studied himself, approved.
And he sure has.
Really, it needs to have his own show.
Yeah.
So we thank you, Steve, and our audience will thank you from your contributions. Tonight we're going to do a roundtable. We'll do some current events. We haven't made a decision on the next study, and we'll have that next week. Brother Bill has a very good study. It's a short study, but we're going to go over it. Chris, we'll open with current events. What do you have going?
Yeah, I'm watching the dialectic between the beast and the false prophet. Just reporting on that, the collusion between those two entities, which are ultimately the beast. It's all one beast, but the Lord has given us understanding in all the aspects of it, and what we're seeing now. This is our first show since the election, and so I guess we've all pretty much come out of that realizing that it's going to be, a deadlock, or what do they call that, Bob?
Gridlock,
or whatever, for the next two
years.
Yeah,
that's all best you can hope for in the political world is gridlock.
Yeah, which probably isn't a bad thing right now.
No, I'm all for gridlock.
Yeah.
In fact, I think they should just shut down and go. I even take another paid vacation.
Yeah, But I don't, there's still going to be plenty to keep an eye on. Who knows what's going to happen? We talked about the Boris Spassky chess game. It's certainly still going on. But, I was just, the Lord just gave me a kind of a pitcher word for this group, the beast and the false prophet. It's the dialectic duo, and this is what we're seeing. Just the handoff. Really, we've come to understand. It's the first beast that's really going to be increasing, as the false prophet will be decreasing. We really see this happening, even though they both have strength right now. Ultimately this dominionist movement, this Christian right dominionist movement is really getting legs. And now obviously with them taking over the Congress, the Christian right, it's a step, and we're pretty convinced that they're going to take over again in 2012. And could just be the final push to following through with this dominionist Kingdom Now agenda. And we clearly see this as the final corralling of the Christian church into full apostasy, because we understand that before the Lord comes back, the church is scheduled to go completely bad. And, you know, sometimes we wonder how far along it is. Some days I think it can't get any worse. But then other times I realize that there's, you know, we're thinking that there's still, you know, there's still remnant in the church. And the sealing of the remnant, you know, whatever phase we're at with that, you know, and before the Lord returns, you know, his remnant will be sealed. His 144,000 will be sealed. And so we're in the pre-show tonight, we were just dialoguing about that a little bit. And I think there's still some, there's definitely still some remnant seed in the church and hasn't heard the call to come out. But, you know, I really believe that as that process takes place and comes to fruition, you know, Sue Patterson says that she's pretty convinced that every 144,000 will know who they are, know their identity clearly, you know, before the trumpet sounds. And I see it, you know, I see that teaching clearly. But, you know, this dialectic between the beast and the false prophet, to put it into, you know, clearer terms, we see that the false prophet is the apostate church, and we see the beast is Israel. And, you know, we see the common thread with this Christian rite is they're all Zionists. They're all pointing towards supporting Israel in many ways, shapes, and forms. And we ultimately believe that this is where this whole thing is heading. It's going to be the Antichrist one world religion, you know, seated in Jerusalem. And I see the Vatican's right in the thick of things, and this is a kind of a left hook that came out where we see that the Vatican is basically aligning itself with Islam. And there's an article saying that the Vatican is talking about putting the Pope's throne in the Dome of the Rock. And it's just amazing how all this thing is playing out. But, you know, it's just more division, because we reported a couple weeks ago that the bishops and the Pope all got together and decided that the Jews weren't the chosen people, so that they've been replaced. You know, the Vatican holds, you know, to the erroneous doctrine of replacement theology, which obviously in one shape or form the Islamic world, you know, adheres to. So I do see the alliance there with their common belief there that the Jews are no longer the chosen people, which you know, we see basically air here at Watchman Weekly, because we believe the Jews are and always have been the chosen people. They're God's elect. We see the Jews as Old Testament physical, New Testament spiritual. And we don't believe in Zionism. We don't believe in the elevation of the physical state of Israel or the elevation of the Jewish race of people. We believe that Israel was, is, and always has been the church. It's God's construct in which he saves his people. And you know, we teach that, you know, dogmatically here on Watchman Weekly, and we believe that we are spiritual Jews. We believe we are circumcised of the heart, and we see this teaching. You know, Paul couldn't have made it more clear that we are, our identity as Jews is you know, a foundational teaching.
Actually, the promise
teaching
to Abraham never went away.
It never went away. No, it never did.
And the circumcision has never gone away. It's been circumcision ever since Abraham. It's always been a circumcision.
Yeah.
Except for at the cross, it's translated to a circumcision of the heart.
Yeah, and the notion that God replaced Israel is absurd, because God didn't replace Israel. He remade Israel.
It's all in Jeremiah. What is the potter? This, you know, it's reconfigured it.
He reconfigured it.
What is he going to do? He actually, what he did was so amazing. It's incredible if you can get your mind around it. He has Israel, that is his construct, and he has these promises to Abraham, you know, promises to Moses. I shall save all Israel as it is written. And yet he still has to, he has divorced these people, and he is a God of justice.
Amen.
So he does the most incredible thing is he reconfigures Israel. You know, he could cover all the bases there. He reconfigures Israel. It was amazing what happened, really.
Yeah.
Totally amazing. Blindsided all the people of their day, obviously.
And still maintained pure justice.
They maintained pure justice, right.
Chris, what specifically do you have? What is going on with those, the leaders of those?
Well, we've got the, Pope Benedict Ratzinger.
He was in the Nazi youth, I believe.
Yeah, he's
in
a Nazi youth. He's a Nazi youth. And there's that YouTube video floating around this weekend about his ties to the Nazis and all that. And, they're all in cahoots.
He has to understand, this is fleshly, ongoing, continued movement in these fleshly constructs. The Dominionist movement is a big move to get elected.
Yeah.
Very setting up a 2012 election where that party that is led by the spiritual understanding of the serpents and scorpions, that party is taking power.
Taking power. Which is what
they
want.
I think a little disappointment was they didn't take the Senate. I think they were counting on taking the Senate, and they didn't quite get it, did they?
No, they sure didn't, but
House to
Harry Reid somehow managed to hang in. Isn't that amazing? That guy has been there like since the time of Moses, I think.
Well, they say that was all manipulated, though.
I'm sure it was.
It's the flesh. It's our audience. And when we convey to you these current events are just to give you fleshly understanding of these various movements that are all in error. We're coming with the true gospel to tell you that it's time to stop mingling. To express in the interpretation of the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ through his gospel that this generation, as all generations, that we're in Christ. We are not the judges. We're not the deaf, dumb, blind watchmen. We're telling you, our audience, this is the time to go to prayer for the Holy Spirit and not be influenced by the outside world or what's going on, so that you may see that this potential movement by a religious construct that is in error under a false prophet with false doctrine leading all of those people into error are not spiritual Jews, and they'll never get this. They won't study themselves approved, and we try to convey to you, audience, that we're giving you the tools and the proper renderings of scriptures so that you can pray to the Holy Spirit and have understanding of where you are in this generation in regards to our Lord Jesus Christ. You're in Christ or you're not. You're on one side of the plumb line or you're not. You're in the world or you're in the Spirit. Does anybody disagree with that type of rendering for our audience?
No.
Oh, absolutely not. The Spirit warreth with the flesh.
And what we're also conveying to you in this generation is that it's really no different than when our Lord was here on the earth. Your churches, and we're trying to be kind to the churches, and we're trying to be kind to, when we say a B system, we say it as, I think of everybody as a child. I don't want to see a child in error. But we're not judges. We're giving you the proper interpretation of scriptures that are not in the churches, and the churches are under strong delusion. Let me quote from Isaiah 28:9 and give you some understanding, audience. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that were weaned from the milk and drawn from the beasts. Now the milk of Scripture is the doctrine that was told to the multitudes. They were told these parables in regards to, you know, very simple understandings that they couldn't get their arms around. And this show is conveying that there is a deeper meaning in the metaphoric understanding of not only the parables, but from Genesis to Revelation. And we have identities of this construct that is revealed through the Holy Spirit that we have studied. And we're telling you that, you know, in your, if you're in a church and it's a 501c and they're using any other gospel than a King James Version, that's diminished, that you cannot receive the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, then this is the weaning that you need to have from the milk so that you may have the meat of Scripture and understand your situation right now. Bill, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, you do need the basic gospel, and I just, you know, I mean, the churches are not teaching this gospel, the gospel that Paul taught, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is just not being taught in the churches, and you know, you need to seek that out on your own and have the Holy Spirit show it to you and pray to the Lord that, you know, and then He will reveal the truth to you in the gospel. And we have to kind of get away from the itching ears aspect and go to and have a desireth heart for the to be shown the truth. You know, and sometimes this causes pain. This causes the pain of that discovering that maybe you know, we've been lied to or we've been deceived or that we might be shunned by others around us. Well, we know our Lord and Savior was shunned. We know that Paul was very disliked everywhere he went, pretty much, except for the remnant that was with him. You know, they threw rocks and ran him out of town most of the time. And, you know, Paul says, do my words offended you? And these churches are just not, you know, they're just not teaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as I often refer to what Pete Wilson has put it, as he calls it, the cotton candy gospel.
Yeah.
It's the itching ear gospel.
And our friend Pete Wilson, you could find a Truth in Scripture. I'm not sure if it's .com, .org. I'll look that up in a second.
He had some very good articles this week, very edifying readers to go there and just for edifying reading. Pete
Wilson's
got some.
Listen, yeah, on a side note, all the blogs, all the people that support us are just all getting downloads. I was just going to say the same thing. You know, and folks, you know, the thirdgreatawakening.org is just a basic study guide, reference guide, where I post, you know, everything significant that I see. And all the remnant ministries are listed there on the second page. And, you know, Scott Sapanik put out a great message, I don't know, today or yesterday. You know, Daniel Mark on the Perverted Christianity has some great stuff up there. And this stuff is straight from the Lord. It's just all pure language truth. It's just getting passed along. It's all there for anybody that has ears to hear. You know, we don't force anything. We just present the truth and let it do its work. You know, it's between you and the Lord and the Holy Spirit. But anyway, it's just really neat the way the Loretta, who we had on last week, was just, you know, the stuff that she's been coming up with. You know, we're all of one accord here. It's just been so exciting to see what God's doing. And, you know, with Steve Knox, and it's just all the Lord, this continuity that he's giving us, all of us, you know, different aspects. I've got a friend, Eileen, who's been, you know, I've corresponded with, and, man, she's getting all this stuff that, you know, she's not really involved with the threshing floor, but a lot of metaphoric understanding she's been giving me that it's taken what I know and kind of challenged me. Just so exciting. It's just really neat what the Lord's doing right now. But, you know, I wanted to comment about what we were talking about before about this gospel and what's this gospel that's in these churches, you know. I watched a video this week. I found a video that was kind of a good icebreaker, I think, you know, as far as the communist, takeover that's happening right now. And in the movie, it had the points, you know, that you guys have probably heard of before, the 40 points that the Soviet Union came up with. It was, Gorbachev or somebody, or Khrushchev. I think it was around the time of Khrushchev when he said that, you know, we'll just give the United States, a little doses of socialism, and one morning they'll wake up and they'll be communist, you know. But part of the plan, you know, they've got the I think it was a 40-point plan. And one of the points was to get a control of the churches and to transform the churches from revelatory religion to social religion. And this was the agenda. And, you know, it's all the conspiracy about the New World Order and the re-education camps. Well, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, society has been re-educated. You know, it has been transformed. And, you know, we represent, you know, a couple different eras here. We're all like half a generation apart from each other. But I'm 53. You know, Bill's a little older than me. Bob's a little younger. And, you know, we've all seen this in different respects. You know, I think about where we were, you know, with Leave It to Beaver. And, you know,
yeah.
And now here where we are today. But the deal is this re-education has happened because they have taken control.
It's already happened. Once again, they're looking for something that's already happened.
And that's the exit about 5 miles back. But, you know, and it's all what we talked about with, you know, whatever led up to it. But the Robert Schuller, the Crystal Cathedral, and that self-esteem gospel that infected, you know, the Willow Creek movement. And then the purpose-driven movement. Well, this was communism, folks. It was communism in the, you know, with the mask of religion. And this is the transformation. This is the re-education that the social network was more important than the truth. And, you know, the growth of the community and the hive and the village, whatever word you want to use, is more important than purging sin. And, you know, this is what would happen. And this was, these are the aspects of the great falling away that have happened. And to the point where the Lord's already stepping in now because, you know, the structures are starting to crumble as we see the Crystal Cathedral coming down. And, you know, I heard of a big church here in town. Won't name any names, but, yeah, they're in bankruptcy or close to it or... But, you know, I think in one respect, I think these people that these churches that do come down probably in one way should be grateful because the Lord loves them enough to, you know, chasten them. Because my idea is I think some of these big institutions are going to keep right on trucking all the way to the, you know, the one world Antichrist religion, you know, and I think that's where we're heading. But make no mistake, we have been reeducated. Until, you know, little ministries like us are, you know, compelling you to wake up and realize what's happened to you. You know, it's like slapping you in the face, throwing some cold water on you, you know.
Which Chris, we talked about, and again, if you go through our shows of this year, we went through all of these fleshly church movements, and scripture upon scripture showed their errors. And we gave a fleshly understanding for what was going on, and a spiritual understanding of strong delusion, and the leaven the whole lump.
Yeah, and we see the whole church is leavened.
So we come back and we say, well, how do we tell someone that we told to come out of the church to get them weaned off the milk of Scripture to the meat of Scripture? And if you follow our breakout studies, Brother Bill has put together a series of studies on the purification of you, audience, through the gospel, on how to transform into the spiritual Jew that has the circumcised heart, And that's what we're trying to convey. But we, in sharing this, you know, if someone can't read, we want to tell them in a very simple Joe Lunchbox understanding of rendering of Scripture that, you know, we care about the people in the churches. And we don't judge, you know, we can't judge who a wheat and a tare are. We have an understanding of who they are. A very clear, definitive, gentlemen, can you concur that we have a definitive understanding of the serpents and the scorpions?
Yeah, in Scripture. I'm not going to sit here and put it in writing, but I certainly have identified some serpents and I've identified some scorpions in my life. You know, I've seen that serpent spirit several times. I've seen it in the eyes. I've experienced it, you know, the venom, the hatred,
they
want to kill you. They want to kill you. They put a knife right to your throat.
Well, they want to strangle you.
Yeah.
They don't need a knife. They get their hands around your throat and they take the life out of you. They take the breath of life out of you.
And you're threatening their authority. You're threatening their authority. That's what
Jesus
is.
Did. You know, there was a lot of messiahs running around at the time of Jesus. There was a lot of them. And they had few followers, if any. You know, if Jesus didn't have any followers, he wouldn't have been a threat to them. That was what threatened them, is that, you know, he was having these huge multitudes following.
That's exactly right. And that dynamic we see happening now because, yeah.
They go, what's going to happen to us if everybody follows that guy?
Right.
And that is your church spirit. They don't want you to.
Because their whole life is ingrained in that.
They don't want you to know this audience. They don't want you to know the truth of Scripture. Okay? So we're told, well, what is the spirit that would do that? Why wouldn't they be living in the truth? Why are they not pointing you to the Lamb? Why are you not following the Lamb wherever you go, and you're following into idol worship? And so there's a spiritual understanding, not a fleshly understanding, that if you're in the church and they're preaching any other gospel or using any other text, any other Bible, like a copyrighted Bible or a diminishment of the Word, and we have studies on that, that will show the reason of their error. And I'd like to recount what we talked about at pre-show with Steve in terms of what is that snare, audience? What is the snare? Why are these people in the churches not recognizing the truth of Scripture? Why are they hiding from the Lord? Ultimately, it's a one-on-one relationship. You are the temple of the Lord. To see this, if you're still in the church, you need to separate. You need to ask the Holy Spirit. You need to study yourself approved. Would you like to add to that, Chris?
Well, no. I mean, that was amazing what Steve said about that snare, about the way that that people feel safe for that hour and a half they're in church. They feel like they're safe from God for that period of time, you know. And it's just so ironic because that's not the way it is. You know, God has peace and, you know, his peace, you know, in the wilderness, you know, 24/7. And it's just, you know, what an analogy that he gave about, you know, where do you set that trap? You know, you put it back in the cave. What did he say about that?
He equated it to a bear trap and a cunning hunter.
Right.
Nimrod. And who else was a cunning hunter?
Yeah, Esau.
Esau.
Okay, so if you have the spirit of Esau in the church, the cunning hunter puts the trap in the cave.
Where the bear thinks he's going to be safe.
Because the prey wants to feel secure and safe.
Yeah.
They take their armor off, is how Steve equated it. So the proper rendering, audience, is that the snare is taking off your armor when you go into the church. And you're preyed on by serpents and scorpions.
And you know what's in that church? So I'm hearing this a lot lately, is the Jezebel spirit.
Like all the spirits of bad. This is the corner church, any corner church audience, or the Catholic Church in Rome.
Well,
ones that have astrologers that are trying to get a throne put into some other, they're mingling. This is the mingling of the four corners of the earth for one new world order religion that diminishes the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. That you have to get your arms around this, audience. You have to see that they are diminishing the works of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, it is the spirit of Antichrist. You cannot be ignorant of this mystery in this generation. I'll tell you why. Because as Jesus comes as a thief in the night, and as foretold to his servants and prophets and sons and daughters, that there would be strong delusion in the churches, then remember most of scripture upon scripture, says that that strong delusion comes to a person on their own terms. If the Lord can count every hair on your head, your strong delusion was meant to be. Now, we don't have a time or a relevant prophecy to recount exactly when our Lord is coming. It wasn't for us to know that. But he comes like a thief in the night. And that's very significant. And look to the times of Noah. How many people were on the ark? How many people were in the world? Anybody want to add to that?
Well, it was a very tiny remnant. I was just looking at the prophets of Baal. You know, you were speaking about Jezebel. I mean, that's your 501c3 church right there.
It is.
It's in 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. I mean, that's it right there.
Yeah, it is.
That's the church joined with the government.
And when we say government, audience, we're not talking about because it's a government system. We just got, there's a spirit. There's a spirit.
The church joined with the beast.
We pray for everybody in our all of the governments of the world. But it is what it is. This is happening real time. If we're telling you that churches are leavened and to come out and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and pray, and he will reveal this to you. You will follow the Lamb wherever you're going. Not because we say so, because you start to recognize what Scripture says. There's a plumb line set, Amos. You're either on this side of the plumb line built on the cornerstone that was not hewed by hands. You are the lively stone. Or you're not. And this is our Lord Jesus Christ's agenda, and man has its own agenda. And you're seeing it every day in your daily walk, recognizing the outside influences, the sins, and how it's into your house and over your radio and in your everyday life. And as you recognize this, that is where you fear the Lord. You don't need to fear these entities or whatever's going on. You need to fear the Lord, because this is all of the Lord. You have to look at this as children. Because some political party or some fleshly understanding, which will show you all the fleshly understanding, it's very easy to see serpents and scorpions. And when I say that, I also say the wheat and the tares that they can't see. You want to explain a little bit on that, Bill?
Yeah, the tares, you know, they grow up with the wheat, just like Jacob Esau grew up together. And then, you know, they blow in the wind. They're easily blown over. They sway with any doctrine that comes along. Anything blowing in the wind knocks them down. And there's tares growing up right alongside them, right in the church. That's the church he's speaking about, you know.
Yeah.
The Christian religion today, so to speak, or the apostate church has taught many of them to believe that all Christians are the wheat and the outsiders, maybe like the Dalai Lama or the Buddhists or whatever, those are all the tares. That's not what he's speaking about.
No, it couldn't
he's
be specifically any more further from the truth.
Nothing could be more further from the truth, right?
This is
yeah, they grow up together, right? In the just as Esau and Jacob drew right, they weren't outsiders. Esau and Jacob came from the same house.
Wow.
In fact, even Abel and Cain grew up together.
So what we're trying to convey to you, audience, is that this process that you're listening to a Bible-based, scripture-upon-scripture show that is telling you that, well, the church is an error, and you say to yourself, not my church. Or you say to yourself, maybe you're on the other side of the plumb line saying, yeah, you're right, I knew this all along. This was, you know, I've known this naturally. Because some of our audiences they're like that. They know. They know what's going on. And we're trying to convey to you, audiences, that spiritual place, that temple of the Lord is you. And you are the circumcised Jew that recognizes this. When you're listening to this, we're telling you, go get some captives. Try and save somebody. It could be of the Lord's will. If you're gifted to be able to use a vocation to convey the truth, please just get serve the Lord. Because as these movements go through and we're talking in, putting together a comprehensive show, it keeps coming back to mingling. Does anybody disagree with that?
Well, the whole Bible's been mingling from the beginning to the end. And, the greatest mingling, you're that greatest, but, you know, a big one that's taken was Karl Marx in 1947, bringing about the dialectic for the ultimate mingling at the end of the world. And it's funny that Steele, I'm going to do, a study this week on Karl Marx and Steele and the mingling that changed the whole world and gathered it on the plains of Shinar. And that's where we are now. We're gathered on the plains of Shinar.
1847, and in 100 years exactly, we have the
1947, yep.
Yep. We have everything happened in 1947. The big one that was, we figure that's one of the biggest years of all time.
You know, I would like to interject for a minute here because you were talking about other sites, and Bob talks a lot about the King James Bible and the differences. If anybody would like to study really, really good, profound work on put out as far as the New Age Bibles, if you go to, which is on Chris's Third Great Awakening website, but you can go to seekgod.ca, I believe, /forum, but it's seekgod.ca, and they have a section there called, let me check their forums real quick.
Yeah, that guy that put that site together did his homework.
Well, I'm going to tell you the real strong point in that forum, one of the strongest points is Bible translations. If you go down to Bible versions and translations and click on that in there, and there's a guy in there named Shipwrecked, and he's done more study. I've learned a lot from this guy
really?
Over the last year. On all how these perverted Bibles came about, the Alexandrian text, what took place with Westcott and Hort. It's probably the best source that I've known. You know, it's a forum. You can go through and read the forums and he's just done outstanding work. And the guy's, he's one of the moderators on there. His name is Shipwrecked. And he really, really, really understands the subject of these perverted Bibles.
Wow.
And that's just on the Seek God discussion forums. And then go down to, I believe it says, Bible versions and translations.
That's a really good, that's a good tip.
They'll have several threads there, yeah.
That's a very good tip you're giving us, Bill. I'll have to check that out, too, because it's such a huge aspect of this final apostasy. It's the Satan worked so long and so hard to put this whole thing together. And that's what we're seeing now. You know, we're seeing the culmination of all this groundwork that he laid. 150 solid years of brainwashing. And you know, we say, you know, there's no way that people would have taken the New International Version, for example, in 1920. No way. You know, but
no.
By the time the 70s rolled around, people were so, you know, getting caught up in the spirit that was out there, this new thing, until it was time. And then
right.
Satan snuck it in under their nose and, oh, yeah, this is easy to read. This is great. Little did they realize that the word had been diminished and the truth
right.
of Scripture had been tampered with.
And this is the great famine on the land right now. And
absolutely.
We try to convey to you, audience, biblical truths. So when you're told that there's a great famine on the land, even though you're in the joy of your life, you know, if you recognize what we're recognizing, and you come out of the church and you're in the wilderness, we suggest some third day studies. And the third day studies are the encapsulation of the metaphoric languages that have led us to the truth of Scripture. And in doing that, you can find those through the threshing floor and through our website. On the right-hand side are the archives. And choose any study, and when you pull up the study notes, you'll see Scripture upon Scripture, and you'll start recognizing these truths. There's patterns. There's definitive truths that will, you know, I could recount just being shocked. Because my thought process was everybody in the church is going to die. They're sentenced to death. And that's when you prepare your house. That's when you recognize that you better stand in the Lord. You are the holy place. You are the temple of the Lord. And Jesus is our example. Clean out the temple. He took the money changers out of the temple. He purified the temple, but it was leavened. Where did Satan tempt Jesus?
Right on top of the temple. I wonder whose temple that was.
So we tell you it's ironic that there, you know, the temple's leavened that you're in. Or if you're in the wilderness and you're listening to this, you're like, yeah, yeah. So we want to convey, you know, wear your armor. The Ephesians 6 armor, spiritual armor of the Lord. What is it to protect you from? False doctrine and snares. You're to trod on serpents and scorpions. You're to be as wise as a serpent. These biblical truths that we're conveying to you in our Joe Lunchbox way are so relevant to your walk in Christ. But more importantly, it's a one-on-one relationship with the Lord to do your vocation. Servants, daughters, prophets. We're telling you that these corrupt entities that you get to witness from your corner church to, you know, any church, as you see the deception go on spiritually, you get more and more protective and fearful of the Lord. He will bring strong delusion. That is upon the inhabitants of the earth right now. Does anybody disagree with that?
Not at all. God brings it. God sets the snare. Because you love not the truth, and he just doesn't play games. It's a hard saying, but it's the way it is. If you love not the truth, God turns you over to strong delusion. It's a very difficult understanding in this cotton candy gospel age that we're in, but it's the truth. It's the truth of Scripture.
Right.
It's right there in your Bible. I mean, it's probably there in any translation you have. You can probably somehow derive that that's what the Lord's saying, even though some of these Bibles, I pick like I pick up a message or the NIV, and I can't even find a verse that I'm looking for because it's just not, it's, you know, unrecognizable. It's just pitiful.
Your sites there on Remnant Ministries, Chris?
Yeah.
Are there all of them are such excellent sites for the viewers, you know, to go to the Remnant Radio and the the Scott's Rapture Cult .com and Truth in, as Bob was mentioning earlier, Truth in Scripture, Revive Me, O Lord. But I went to one today and we'll read, I had not read before and I just never got around to it. It was Soul Refuge.
Oh yeah, he's great.
And wonderful stuff on there.
I know.
And you know, I read for about 45 minutes on that site today.
Yeah. Yeah, that was on Randy's site. That was on Threshing Floor.
Yeah, I've never been to that site. For what you know, for whatever reason, you don't get around to it. There's so many, so many things going on in my studies every day. But that was, I found that very, very edifying.
Neat.
And of course, you know, Dean Gocher's on there too. I mean, there's the guy that has the
sure
message.
Is.
He never quits, huh?
Oh,
boy, I have
gosh.
To give that guy credit.
He really does.
It out.
And for our audience, after you get through with your own studies, these will be very edifying sites because they're all scriptural references.
They're tools.
These are
yeah.
solid sites.
These are, and these sites will be diminished.
Yeah.
There's a diminishment and a famine on the land for the truth, and that is what our Lord said would happen.
And I gotta, you know, like we all talk, you know, we all get around on the webs on the internet. And we look, and, you know, that first page is it. Right, guys? I mean,
yeah, that's
and once
pretty
in a while,
it, yeah.
somebody finds something. And
I
we
can't
go,
think of any that I don't that are not there that I don't, you know.
Yeah. Like when we found Pete, you guys found Pete a couple months ago. You were so excited. Hey, there's a guy, you know, he's in Florida, and really we saw no sign that he was connected with any of the other ministries. It was just the Lord teaching him the metaphoric language. He had some... you know, neat understanding. But, I mean, there's not a lot out there, folks. It's, you know, we've been talking about, Randy and I have been talking this week about Gideon and, you know, his army, you know, whittling it down to 300 men. I mean, we really see a type of this happening right now. Huh. You ever think about that?
Yeah.
Well, in terms of our audience recognition of our shows, and going back to the church movements that we went through, and believe me, audience, we were we wanted to have your understanding as we studied the churches and where the errors were. We went through the movements, and they're all fleshly. So it all comes down to the flesh.
It's all flesh. That's the common characteristic of error, is it always pushes you towards the flesh.
That's the magnet.
So we turn and we say, repent. Repent of your sins. Stop sinning. And the world will tell you, oh, you can't do that. You can't. Yes, you can. You can stop sinning. You know, there is a truth about that. Okay, because you're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. But you're never perfect. Never perfect. Okay? But you can bypass these things so that you can get your one-on-one understanding with the Lord Jesus Christ for what you're supposed to do. What scripture are you supposed to have the proper rendering for someone? How are you going to be used as a vessel of the Lord and not a vessel of wrath? That is what we try and convey on this show. It is... I you know, we had a, and again, we're taped a week later. The Threshing Floor put out a rebuttal on a radio show. It's up Daniel. Now, I don't listen to Mr. Daniel. I had heard maybe two shows, and I don't know the man. But if he has a fleshly understanding of the gospel, then he is part of this process. He's part of this separation. That's what you have to understand, audience. If you have fleshly understanding, with the proper reverence of scriptures, you will be in error. You do not stand in the holy place. You do not follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. You pray always for our Lord Jesus Christ to lead you. You know, not your pastor.
No.
Not somebody on the radio. Not somebody on the internet. The Lord himself leads you to this understanding.
Yeah, and you know, Bob's talking about victory over sin. You know, Jesus died on a cross not to, you know, he died to save us, but he died to give us victory over sin, to give power over sin. And we have that available to us. But there's a catch. And this is the problem, you know, this is the catch that people can't get past. You got to lose your life. You got to die. You know, I can give you the gospel in one word. Die. You know, we basically have to die to ourselves. We have to give our life to the Lord. And then he redeems us and he gives us a new life. You know, we're born from above then. And then that's what it means. You know, when we abide in Christ from that point, we are abiding in the truth that the Lord gives us. And that's where the power is. Abiding in the truth is where the power comes from to have victory over sin, because we know the Lord and we don't want to hurt him. We know the Father heart of God. And, you know, anybody whose parents out there knows what I'm talking about. And, you know, we can just identify with the betrayal that Jesus went through. And, you know, all these things were examples for us in the Scripture. And we're living it today, because that's all that's out there for people that are walking in the truth, is betrayal and hatred. Because you're hated, but not, it's because they hated Jesus. But, you know, if you're just floating around, you know, being, you know, everybody's buddy and, you know, not really running into any conflict, I'd question, you know, your walk, because the truth cuts, the truth divides. The Word of God is living and active, you know, and cuts the bone to the marrow, you know, and it's not a game, folks. This is serious business. It's joy and peace that, you know, surpasses understanding. But there's a price. You know, you can't play games like the church is doing today, the community centers, where you talk about Jesus once in a while, and we, you know, preach, you listen to the preacher, even, you know, talking scripture, deep, you know, probably even some in-depth studies. But as long as the congregation isn't living sacrifices, you know, holy and pleasing to God.
Well, the whole church is full of wants. You know, and then they feel that they're helping God along with their wants. You know, God doesn't need any help. I think you said it best, too. You, of course, your description of the gospel tonight was excellent there with one word. But you've also said in the past that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's
literally. You know, we've heard that verse so many times. And we say, oh, that can't be what that means. I remember, you know, my nephew and my family, the first baby my sister had, a little boy, I remember he was riding in the car and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd and I don't want any."
They have a church of wants. We want a bigger church. We want more congregation. We want more tithes.
Yeah.
We want more entertainment. We want less gospel. We want no meat.
Yeah. No meat.
We'll have meat at the barbecue, though.
Yeah, but not that meat. Yeah. We want to be calves in the stall. But yeah, it's
Yes. It's everything we say it is. It's the truth, audience. It's the truth of Scripture.
But the problem is they're all doing it thinking they're doing God a service.
Right. They all think they're helping God along.
Which is of the Lord. The Lord brings the strong delusion. Okay, so we're telling you to separate from anything that'll ensnare you or bring you strong delusion, and prepare yourself to wear the full armor of light, to shine. Let me recount a scripture from Acts 18, verse 6. And listen to this very carefully, audience. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. I am clean, is what the Apostle Paul said.
Yeah.
He was a murderer. He killed for the Lord's purpose that he was purified. He was tried by fire. You think he was in a little shock when he found out that all those people that he persecuted were innocent?
Yep.
Did he not go through the rest of his life and get stoned, beaten, imprisoned, destroyed in the flesh, persecuted at every turn, attempted murders everywhere? They had to surround him by a garrison, the most hated man in Israel. Why? Because he had the truth.
That's right.
He had the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the flesh can't handle the truth, whether it's in your church, in your prison, at the restaurant, at your corner, next to your neighbor. They can't handle the truth. What is the primitive root to clean? It's to disappear. That's very relevant, to disappear. Yeah. That is to cease. If you're clean, these sins disappear. You work for the Lord. Your vocation is given to you as a clean vessel to do the Lord's will. Ultimately, we preach the Lord Jesus Christ and do his will. We've done enough rabbit hole studies to go through, our own experiences are telling that the watchmen in your churches are blind, deaf, and dumb. We know that your prosperity gospels, or this gospel, or this Jehovah Witness movement, or we can go through the whole gamut of the 36,000 denominations of Christendom, and it all comes down to Jesus Christ and the finished works of the cross. And anything contrary to that is the spirit of Antichrist. And if you have milk understanding of these scriptures, you are in peril.
God says, woe unto you.
That's a woe from our Lord God. Now, we've had separation. We're telling you that there's signs of physical manifestations that we can't give you a solid conclusion because they're happening right now. You have an ocean in peril. That is relevant to this generation. Does anybody disagree with that?
No, that's definitely a manifestation of a judgment of the fifth trumpet. There's no question. There's absolutely no question that was a clear sign to the remnant that judgment has begun. There's absolutely no question about that.
I mean, get your house in order, audience. You know, you've been getting fleshly understanding. We keep as much possible, but the meat of Scripture is get into the holy place. Be sure of your election. Only you can do that. In your own way. You have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. He comes like a thief in the night, and if your house is not in order, there's a lake of fire that is judgment. This is what they took out of the church, is repentance.
Well, like we said earlier, the revelatory religion. That's the rock. I mean, Jesus said, Peter, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus just jumped up and down with excitement and said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church. I mean, the rock is the revelation, you know.
Right. That's one of the most profound things in the Gospels.
That's the church. The church is built upon revelation. It's about about revelation from the living God, and it's the only way that you can understand God. And he's given us his word, and study with a pure heart, and God reveals truth to you. And it's the only way that you can know God's will. And
if you don't, what you have left is the vanity of your mind, you know, as Ephesians chapter 4.
And that's what we have today. You know, all the movements, it's a smorgasbord of every wind of doctrine out there right now. You can pick whatever you want.
It says the carnal mind is at enmity with the Lord?
Yes, it does. And this is what we have.
That's what they're trying to all figure this out in their mind. And you're right, it's a big smorgasbord. And then what Jeremiah, I believe, I can't quote the chapter, I know it's in Jeremiah, you know, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and who can know it?
Who can know it?
Well, you know, what have we been trained in our life as little children? You hear this song, it sounds so beautiful and saintly, born free to follow your heart wherever you choose to go. And then what have we always been said? When you have to make a decision, follow your heart. You know, follow. Well, the Bible says the absolute opposite. It says your heart's deceitfully wicked, and it'll deceive you. You know, and we've been told these fairy tales ever since we're children.
Oh man!
Scripture says we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to do His will, not follow our hearts.
So we give you the rendering of "Be not conformed to this world." Okay, so we give you the fleshly understandings through our studies and our searches to give you general current events, you know. We're telling you, don't be conformed to this world. Know about it. Know about this movement. Know about that movement. Know that they're all snares. And they want you inside the door, and we're told not to go into that door if we know it's a snare.
Well, the first thing you need to know, if it's just a 501c3, you don't even have to go any farther than that.
And it's the individual transformation. You're not conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is your scriptural, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to this truth. You know, we don't know if someone is blind or if someone is deaf and they can't hear this. Whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to you, this truth. You can't be conformed to this world. You must be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you should find that good and acceptable and perfect will of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other gospel. There is only to do His will. To wear His armor. To be protected from the snares. And he prayed for us that we should be here for this. Anybody want to add to that?
Well, you know, the thing when we were talking about before with the dialectic process, and when Bill was talking about the thirdgreatawakening.org and the references there, and he mentioned Dean Gocher. You know, and Dean Gocher is just brilliant, and the Lord has given him insight into an area that we've all—I can speak for Bob and Bill. I know that we've gleaned so much from his teaching about the Hegelian dialectic. You know, which is all part of the communist thing, but really we've recognized it as the tactic that Satan used in the garden. You know, he used the dialectic process on Eve. You know, caused doubt. It caused Eve to doubt. And this is, you know, what we have going on today with all this division, all this, all these movements. It's what Satan gets his fuel from. You know, Satan thrives on division. And he's advanced his kingdom by division. And he causes men to doubt, and he causes men to dialogue, and he causes men to reach a consensus, to compromise. And this is the dynamic that's taken place in the church. And it's been all brought about through all this, you know. We'll go back to the mid-1800s when Bill said, you know, the Marx, let's just pick it up at Karl Marx, but, you know, he was right in lockstep with Hegel. Hegel was early. I think Hegel was in the 1700s. This is all social engineering, but they're taking these tactics, and Satan has used them in the church. And, you know, the bullet points of the communist takeover and that reference to the taking over of the churches, well, that happened in the 50s. And at the same time, you know, remarkably, that Lyndon Baines Johnson came up with the 501c3 corporate tax exempt status. It's all happening at
the same
time.
That's right in the Communist Manifesto. I guess it's in the 10 planks, isn't it? I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it is.
Government control, you know, free public education. What could go wrong there?
But what did we say? You know, we're talking, you know, Jesus was so excited about Peter's revelation, and this is what Satan has accomplished. He's taken that, the rock of the foundation of the church, he's taken it away, and that it's not revelation anymore. It's dialogue. The church dialogues to figure out who God is, as opposed to using truth and using scripture and based on a pure holy walk and a one-on-one basis. You cannot receive revelation as a group. The hive, the village, cannot receive revelation. It has to happen one-on-one.
Not only that, if the group goes wrong, nobody's responsible. Hey, well, hey, the group was the one that decided.
Oh, jeez.
You know, can't blame it on me.
Bill, don't get me started. Yeah, because that's exactly it. And
it's sobering. This is a sobering thing that you audience have to recognize that you've been
retrained. You've been reeducated.
You know, and it's all around. It's on your radio. It's on the internet. Like we said, these sites that we have are diminishing. They're fewer and fewer. Fewer and fewer. There's thousands and thousands of Christian sites, but we're down to 20s or 15s that are in the truth, in their own wilderness, trying to preach this gospel. That is the great famine on the land, because the multitude of people are in the churches and they're under a false prophet and they're in idol worship. And that's your corner church as well as the large picture. When they're fighting over the Holy Land, when there's rumors of war, when there's strong delusion, these are all the ingredients of revelation in our generation, without a doubt. Separate yourselves from the world. Separate and seek your Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ, so you may know what the Lord would have for you as His will to do. Brother Bill?
Yeah, it's separation, you know. Was that way at the time of Moses. It hasn't changed, you know. And what did he do with Abraham? He called him out to be separate. And eventually Lot went back to the city and became unseparate. He went back to get his coat.
As an example to us.
Lot is the best example for the church today.
You know, as we recount this, we've got a short study that Brother Bill has, but I just want to recount the shock of Abraham when the Lord came and explained Sodom and Gomorrah. And you have to recount that Abraham knew all of Lot's tribe. They were all under Abraham before they separated.
Wow.
He knew every child that was born. And they, the separation that they had, saved and unsaved, for the Lord's purpose. Were they not taught under Abraham when they were growing up? Were they not taught about God? Were they not taught about not sinning? The reverence of our Lord? The coming of his Son? Are these not all the steps that the Lord has? And there's a separation, and the separation is pretty severe. When you recount how many were left from Lot, they explain biblically that this is a huge plain of land that Lot and Abraham cannot together dwell on. They have to separate. There's no cities. There's a plain of land that you don't know how many thousands of acres there are. How large were those tribes? They were utterly destroyed at Sodom and Gomorrah by God's judgment. He couldn't plead for 10 people. 8 people were in Noah's ark. How many people know this truth?
And Noah preached for 120 years, too. And, he couldn't convince any of them.
Well, let's talk about guarding your hearts, Bill, and the finished works of Christ in this short study. And we'll include the show notes on this.
The finished works of Christ, as far as I'm not quite following you there.
Well, in Luke 21:36. We did a
Luke
short 20, study.
21:36, okay.
Watch thee, therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
Yeah, that's your remnant right there. That's the only escape that there is. Watch your prayer, and that prayer is. I'll look that prayer up real quick.
It's on the screen, Bill.
It's on the screen. You lost me here.
It's the prayer of the 144,000.
Right, yeah, I was just trying to remember what verse that was. I was just checking my notes now, and Joel 2:17. Yeah, yeah, this is who he's speaking to in watch and pray, yourselves be accounted worthy. And the prayer in Joel 2:17 is the let the priests, the ministers of the Lord. Well, you'll find the priests and the minister of the Lord. You'll find these people in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 6, I believe. And you'll also find it in Peter, 2 Peter. I'm not sure of the verse, but it says, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. That's the multitude they're speaking of. This is just like Abraham pleading with the Lord about Lot's people. And the people in Sodom, that all those people that he knew there from Lot's families that were on the plains with them. Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them.
Wow.
Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? So they're praying for them, just as Abraham was peradventuring with the Lord. What if there be 50? What if there be 40? What if there be 30? And this is the prayer of the 144,000 in Joel 2:17, praying for the multitudes.
Yeah. And we see him, give not thine heritage to reproach. And this is exactly what the church is doing today. They're surrendering their heritage.
They're surrendering their heritage or their birthright.
It is absolutely...
This is the prayer of the inner court here. The inner court. This is the prayer of the inner court.
Yes. And this is what's going to go on in the outer court, is the trampling. The Gentiles are going to trample on the multitude for 42 months in the outer court, and that's going to be the tribulation. And, you know, that's what I wanted to say, too, is that, you know, with all everything we're talking about tonight, folks, and the slumber of the apostate church, but there is hope, because you know, the Lord's return, the second coming, is for the sole purpose of restoring His church. The great apostasy is a very integral part of God's plan, and we see all through Scripture, analogies to the final restoration of the apostate Israel, of Jacob. That Jacob is the multitude, and this is what we see. You know, we see Jacob's trouble is what's ahead. And this is what we're doing, folks. We're preparing you for what's ahead. And we're putting the call out now to come out, you know, to flee Judah and flee to the wilderness, because the Lord is clear in Scripture that the woman in the wilderness is protected. And the woman is the church, true and apostate. The woman has two groups. There's the woman in the wilderness where she is nourished. She's fed the word and nourished by the Lord. And then there's the other woman, the harlot. And that's what we've seen. You know, the church has turned into the harlot. The church has become the harlot. And it's Babylon. Babylon the harlot, the mystery of iniquities. And it's very clear what happens. And the church is no place to be when the trumpets sound. And we're here calling you out now. There's a group in the church that will make it, the multitude who are remaining in the churches when the tribulation comes will be purified. You know, Zechariah says that two parts will be cut off and a third will be brought through the fire and refined. And this is what's ahead. There's no rapture. There's no, you know, one taken and one left. Taken is taken to prison. And, you know, Scripture is clear as it could be.
Right, it's all over Scripture. It's all you can. If you search "taken and left" if you have an eSort or another search engine or whatever, you'll just find that the one taken is always bad.
Taken is bad. Like, left is good.
Always.
It's the exact opposite.
It's the exact opposite of. Does that surprise anybody?
Yeah, the Freemasons have had their way with the church, and they have successfully planted doctrines of demons. And one of the manifestations has been Mason Tim LaHaye has presented Hollywood with, you know, just an abomination of false doctrine in these Left Behind movies and these books teaching that that the church is raptured before the tribulation. All part of
it's
the lie, all part of the deception.
In Scripture. These people that are in the churches are likened unto 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, in our time, we are likened in the time of our Lord when he was on the face of the earth. And the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees are all there right now. They're in the temple, they're in the churches. And you need to be like-minded.
Yeah, they just have different names.
Yes, it's all.
They should be calling, you know, it'd be easier for the multitude to identify them if they called themselves Pharisees. But they change, the guilty, what does it say? I've always said that the names are changed to protect the guilty.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, they're, if they called themselves Pharisees, the people might leave, huh?
It is of the Lord that this is happening.
It's for his purpose. The overcomers.
Yes, it is.
The overcomers are the ones that the Lord will spend eternity with. And that's what it's all about. This tribulation and suffering is to prepare us as a spotless bride. Because the Lord is coming back for a spotless bride. And if you look at the church today and you wonder, what's up? Well, I'll tell you, we're telling you what's up. that God is getting ready to pass judgment. He's getting ready to set the plumb line in the midst of his people Israel. And when he does that, he will pass by again no more. And that means there's a time coming when no man can work, and there'll be a time when there'll no longer be a chance to respond to the truth. Scripture's clear about that. When? We don't know. We've got some ideas. You know, we're putting these pieces of the puzzle together for you, the best that we've been able to do so far. The Lord is giving us understanding weekly. You know, we just fellowship together during the week, share what the Lord's showing each other. We come together at least once a week here to share what the Lord's doing. And he's in it, and all we're trying to do is stay out of his way and allow him to use us as empty vessels, you know, to minister the truth to you. And, you know, our prayer is that some of you out there will hear. And
Brother Bill?
Yeah, we look at Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that he be ignorant of this mystery. You know, it's a mystery.
Yeah.
He reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. He speaks about the mystery to in Revelations, I think 10:7. I'm not sure if it's 10:7. It's that this mystery had been just as had been revealed to his prophets. So the blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And you know, that's the gathering of the multitude, the fullness of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. There's Israel, and then there's the multitudes, and all Israel shall be saved, that is written. Well, yes, you know, the Lord is outside this timeline. On one layer, all Israel has been saved, all Israel is saved, and all Israel will be saved. But in our walk here, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And I see Jacob here as being the multitude. It's the only time in the New Testament where Jacob and Israel are actually used in the same verse. And the multitude joins the remnant Israel, and all Israel shall be saved. And I see Jacob as, the ungodliness being turned away from Jacob as the multitudes turn back to God. Right now, Jacob is divided into two bands. As it tells you in Genesis chapter 32, in Jacob's trouble. And they're basically double-minded. They want Jesus, but they want the world. Or they want Jesus, but they want their cotton candy gospel too. And at some point, you're going to have to make up your mind, like Jacob did when he wrestled with the man all night. And that's what the multitude's going to have to do. They're going to have to wrestle with the man all night, and they're going to have to decide whether are we going with Jesus, are we going all the way, the 100% Jesus, or are we going to remain in two bands. And that's when the multitude will start coming out. When that is going to be, I don't know.
Well, in closing tonight, I want to convey to you, audience, two things. This is from John chapter 1, verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And in our show tonight, try to explain this cleansing, this cleanness you need to have, this repentance of sins, the Sabbath rest in our Lord Jesus Christ to do his will. And in closing, I'd like to give you a few of the scriptures. When you dwell down on clean, look it up in your Eastward or your concordance. It's a primitive root to disappear, that is to cease. Be clean, gone, at an end, brought to naught, to fail. And the second is, in its various senses, beloved, also pure, empty, choice, clean, clear, pure. A primitive root to clarify, that is brighten, examine, select, make bright, choice, chosen, cleanse, be clean, clearly polished, pure, purge, clear, clean, pure. If you look this up in Scripture and show yourself approved, you'll understand this, the metaphors that are attached to that word. You need to be a clean vessel for the Lord to indwell in you, to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night.